Hello there, beautiful people. Welcome to the episode of the Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And I've got with me in the studio, the one and only Resha. Resha!
Yeah. I mean, it's good to be back.
It do be a while.
after the break. It's good to be back. And so what's going on?
How you doing? Nothing much. I mean, it's all good. It's all good over here. I mean, we can't complain. We're getting by and by. You know, it's craziness and it's madness all over the world. Wherever you are, I guarantee you, these are interesting times to be alive.
Can he get any worse elsewhere than in Nigeria? I mean, because these guys are showing us pepper.
I thought you were trying to be, you know, optimistic and positive, you know, having a positive mindset.
The optimism came from was trying to give you guys some props, because don't forget you guys in Labour Party now. You are in Labour Party now. So trying to give you guys some props because they won some seats in the House, and everybody was kind of okay, let's see how that goes and all.
Yeah,
but I started having my doubts when all of them started collecting
vehicles. No, jokes apart, that was really disappointing. On my part, I felt like there was no better opportunity for the Labour Party to show character and just principle to say, listen, this is what makes us different from the rest.
This is the reason why
we will not stand for this.
Yeah.
You know, with one voice, even if it's a front, just even try and form like, we're not going to collect this, we'll kick back against this.
It's ridiculous.
Total silence. Like those guys just went in there, and I personally was looking at someone like Iretik Indigbet to say, you know, being a woman as well who has also won a senatorial seat, you know, it's an opportunity for her to not just shine the light and that beacon of hope as a Labour Party candidate, but as a female, as a woman as well, you know, in sensitive in the Hallowed Chambers. I was thinking that she would have used that opportunity to, you know, stand out. But she granted an interview some few months after she took office, and what she was practically trying to say in that interview is, their mother and me, I just have to blend in. There's not much I can do.
but don't forget that I spoke about this some time back when we were talking about the difference between when you are outside and when you are inside. I spoke about a particular person that I know that was in the House, was now telling us, you know, what they go through in the House, you know, the protocols in the House and all, and how they give them money in bags, how they carry money and come give them and tell them that two women will take care of them for the night.
Damn.
And all. They live in total, you know, illusion, far removed away from the reality of what everybody is going through. And that's what I say. Like, you see, Nigeria will have a situation whereby it is, it is thieves leading potential thieves. So, it's just an opportunity or a window. They are waiting for a window to open so that they too can go and
they can get the chance.
Become their own. Yeah. So that's what we're going through in Nigeria, really. They disincentivize government position, this government office positions and all.
Yeah.
Until it is disincentivized, people will still keep going there to go and to go and hit.
Let's even talk about, you know, the one that has caused like massive outcry in the course of the week, right? The supplementary budget, right? The federal government have submitted a supplementary budget to cover some expenditure for 2023. Which is weird to me because the year is already over, right? But whatever, right? And the provisions of the budget was made public. And very quickly, Nigerians looked through the budget and immediately began to see some things that didn't make sense. First off being a provision under the defense budget by the Navy for 5 billion naira to cover expenses for a presidential yacht. That aside, there was like 2.5 billion set aside for vehicles for the office of the first lady.
Yeah.
I'd be wondering what kind of vehicles did those will be being, to be honest.
Yeah, office of the first lady.
Like $12 billion to renovate the presidential villa and the private quarters. And I'm like, bruv, do they renovate Aso Rock every year? Yeah. Because that line item features every year in every budget. Mm. Renovation of the presidential villa. I think if you're going to spend $10 billion to renovate somewhere, you probably want to, you know, make sure that that's all you're spending for that purpose for like the next 4 or 5 years. Mm. But our budget always carries that line item, renovation of presidential villa. Sometimes they will tell you the hospital they want to renovate for $20 billion. Mm. Hospital that they don't use anyways. So but I mean, the one that's definitely picked, you know, the major buzz was the $5 billion for a presidential yacht. And Nigerians were asking, of all the things we are going through in this robodinion that we are doing in this country, how is it that a yacht is our priority?
That's the typical things that we go through in this part of the world. And it goes to show how these offices and all these positions, you know, has been totally messed up, you know. And we also know that ingenuity, innovations, and pushing the country forward, you know, can never happen via the government positions. They are only there to make sure that the real guys, you know, that will set the nation on track, you know, are well taken care of, which is the entrepreneurs, you know, the technocrats, the people that are really, really going to be in the public space, mm-hmm. you know, to get their creativity going, you know, and pushing them, you know, forward to achieving what they want to achieve. You know, if you look at countries that have, you know, succeeded in all these things, you know, I mean, there's a conducive playing ground for them to work, most notably the person that I can refer to is, I mean, he too is even complaining. You can imagine, you know, you can fly your rocket out of space, like, you know, he's flown his rocket out of space, like, I mean, countless times and all, you know, but he's still complaining that they see government bureaucracy, you know, stopping him from doing all that and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you still see how the government open up space for people that wants to innovate, you know, that wants to make things happen and all. But if these guys are just collecting money, you know, and feeding fat on the money that's supposed to be channeled, you can imagine, the other senator that Shehun was asking on channels.
Alin Dume
was asking, like, are you guys serious at all? You are taking all this money, and even in your own locality, people cannot access good classrooms. They don't have boards in their classroom. They sit on the floor, and you guys are okay just taking 150 million, 60 million, naira for vehicle. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, to even think, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you see, guys, when we're always talking, maybe they should listen to the they should listen to the oracle. You know, I'm the oracle. I always tell you guys that our problem is not Tinubu. They think our problem is never Tinubu.
Mm.
Our problem, we are the problem. The people are the problem. And now that the people have elected the Labour Party guys into office, guess what? They've removed themselves, you know, from you guys. Now they've all of them are kept quiet, collecting their SUV and all and everything. And there are many more extra codes that come with that. You know, they have their PAs, they have all those stuff and all, and their PAs too will keep quiet and all. That's what happens. This guy, guess what? Tolu Okunlesi. He done the tweet again. Have you checked? He's been tweeting again now.
Well, yeah. He has always been tweeting.
No. He's, what he was tweeting then, it was not what he's tweeting now. Tweeting of how good governance can be achieved in Nigeria. When he was doing his 8 years with Buhari,
he was pushing agenda.
Yeah, he was pushing agenda. I know. Now he's tweeting again. You know, and that's the way it is. It's typical Nigerian.
Counts, to be honest.
Typical Nigerian. You know, he's vying. I mean, he's looking out for another government. Position now, post, you know, and all. And then, I mean, it's the elites, you know, and I don't know even what elites they are. It's not, there's nothing elite about it. Everybody, I mean, Nigerians are, a lot of Nigerians are educated, really. A lot of Nigerians are educated. So don't, I mean, it's just a dog eat dog. That's what we're doing. We're not even elite. They're not elite anything. How much elite are they? I mean, everybody else is not. You know, you just position yourself in a what's it called? That's why I'm very skeptical of this guy, David Undeyin. You know, because I mean, that's what Omojua was doing then. Omojua would be, I mean, what's it called? Would be sending tweets, you know, about how good governance, da da da. And like, Omojua don't keep quiet. Talking about how he knows Deji Tinubu personally. You know how he knows him personally, and he knows what he do, what he can do, and what he can't do. And I'm like, look at you. You were the one that was going up and down, you know, shouting solidarity forever. No, look at what you're doing now. And all.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not really moved by all those initial gra-gra, coming and tweeting and acting all pious and tweeting one, what's it called, intellectual, da-da-da, and all. I'm saying, like, can we look at all these things that is happening? And I'm not, I mean, and I can't, completely doubt David Undeyin in that sense. I can't completely doubt him because I don't know what pedigree he's made of. You know, maybe he's going to continue like that and all, but what I would just say to him, he should calm down with all those abuses that he puts in his if you want to criticize, stop abusing, and stop talking to elders as if you are one you are one Shazam or one you know, and all.
I think with David Undeyin, I don't know if it's passion, I don't know what it is. I mean, he's come out to say that his life has been at risk. Just some 1 month or 2 months ago, he put out a video where I was literally calling on the Ghana Refugee Commission to say, listen, Nigeria is after my life, basically.
But did you see what the Ghanaian government told him?
Yeah, I mean, they released a statement, the letter to that effect, and told him that, you know, whatever he thinks, whatever he got his own intel from, saying that the president of Nigeria wants to use Ghana to repatriate him, that's false, right? But I mean, they also reinstated their commitment to protecting him, making sure that his status as a refugee is respected regardless of whatever it is that's going on in Nigeria, right? But it was a subtle way to say, young man, you're doing great stuff, but tone it down. You're doing great stuff, but tone it down. Some statements are very inflammatory. And you know, and I mean, he's been calling out names.
I just feel like saying all kinds of things. One part of the thing that I read in that communique to him was like, he can't be in Ghana and be throwing your government under the bus. Like, if you really want us to give you refugee status, you are not going to be reporting in Ghana. You know, I know. I mean, it's in that line. They told him, you can't be reporting in Ghana, you know, and your government is telling you, like, you need to kind of, come and answer for all these things and all.
Yeah.
And you think we're not going to send you. We'll probably send you if you don't take time.
Oh, was that
you
part know? Of what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Subtle, like you said. Subtle. Okay. It was more like that. They didn't say it in plain English. They just told him, like, he needs to pipe down. You know, you can't be criticizing government and you're on refugee status. You know, that means you're still working. You're still doing your journalistic work and all. So he needs to calm down and all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're back to the whole budget thing, and I think these guys are just playing with us, right?
No, because they are playing with us.
The senators have come out and said the actual assembly have said, we're going to strike out whatever provision it is, the 5 billion. We're going to push it to the provision for the student loans, because apparently in the budget there's provision for the student loan program that Tinubu wants to introduce, but it was about 5 billion, and people have said, we want to provision 5 billion for over 10 million students. That makes no sense. So they said if they would add that money to that 5 billion, make it 10 billion. But the problem now is we're hearing that the yacht in question has already been delivered.
It's been delivered now.
So what's going to happen?
Now money to pay for the yacht.
Of which that even just raises a whole new set of questions.
Yeah,
how on earth was a yacht delivered without payment? Like, in what world do transactions like that happen? Someone has said that yacht is probably an insider.
They said the yacht doesn't belong to Tinubu, that the yacht is actually the naval command.
Yeah.
That's where it actually belongs and all.
Yeah.
But all rules, really. To me, it's all rules. Like, they're just looking for where to, dock the blame and say, okay, this is what it is and all and everything. And it's ridiculous. And that, like I always say, I'm always going to keep saying it until we go to our locality and we start putting the feet of these guys to fire trust me, we are just going to be chasing an illusion. You know, there is no government. You see, when they say government, the government is this, the government is that, it's an elusive figure. You can't pinpoint the government until you go to your locality. All those guys that you elected in your locality, your state senator, your state house of rep, your chairman of local government, your governor, your councillor, once you begin to put all those guys, once you begin to put their feet to the fire, trust me, you begin to see things in the national level change. But like we keep saying this, that not so now. I mean, they will come back to the oracle now. Let me be the oracle. I don't tell them.
please. I mean, when it comes to, and what I, right now, my view on this is the president shouldn't keep silent. Some people have said, let's not be quick to throw the president under the bus. Tinubu is not the one that requested for the yacht. It was probably something that had been in the workings before he resumed office.
No, that's what he said.
Yeah. So for Tinubu to also, and I'll give him a bit of his credit, right, Tinubu, in the sense that I think that in the first few months of his presidency, he has been a little bit more in touch with Nigerian people, in the sense that he's showing up. Let me say showing up.
Okay, I'll show you.
He's speaking to the people.
Okay.
Right? If I compare Tinubu to Buhari, I mean, Buhari left us in a state of hopelessness, where he was showing us.
Buhari was sick for most of the time.
Even when he was not sick, he didn't send us. Do you understand? Buhari didn't care to address anything. Buhari didn't care to show that he was really interested. Half the time, whenever he was even addressing people, we could tell that he wasn't really interested in what he was saying.
But it's interesting that you are, the tone that you are, I mean, using with Tinubu. There's some
empathy.
There's some empathy, and there's some, you know, sure. I mean, you seem relaxed with the way you address
the
situation.
And
it feels like I'm the one that is now like putting Tinubu to.
It's interesting, right? Listen, this is the thing about me. I'm not a headstock person where I have one view and I stick on that view to death. I like people to engage me with superior arguments and say, this is how you see things. I will look at it from this angle. And if you have some good points, I'm inclined to give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I'm not 100% sold on Tinubu right now, to be honest. Yeah. But I don't have to have so much animosity towards him as of today. Let me give the president some chance, some time. I would say, like I said, I listened to him speak at the NESG summit. I listened to him speak in the just concluded retreat he had with his cabinet members. I've listened to him speak also during the Independence Day address, right? He comes off as someone who understands our problems and probably is cooking up a way to address them. Now, that's just one end. People are very good at talking. Tinubu has always been known for being a good talker, right? So he's talking the talk right now. We need to see him walk the talk, right? But talking the talk is a good step. Like I said, looking at where we are coming from, he didn't give a damn, right? Buhari didn't bother addressing anybody's concerns. He said whatever he wanted to say and move on. If you like, cry to tomorrow, doesn't care. So that's one good positive thing I'm seeing. We're also seeing, I mean, just recently we saw the madness that has happened with our exchange rate, right? The dollar was flying, going AY at some point, the price of things skyrocketing crazily. Now, thankfully, with the intervention of the CBN and some of the things that they've done to try to bring some FX liquidity into the economy, we've seen the naira kind of stabilize. It's now around 900 naira to the dollar. We are hoping that they come up with a good plan to sustain this and give us some stability, right? But that being said, all in all, I'm watching closely and I'm giving the president a fair chance. He has done some goofs. Yeah, he has goofed a bit, right? Like the Dubai thingy, where he came out and said Dubai visa, the Dubai ban is lifted, you know, immediately, blah, blah, blah. And turns out that nothing like that, right? That everything is in the works. That was a goof, right? Some of the things that they've done, not really impressed by. But I want to give him a chance, see how far it goes. Right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't really have... meat in the fights, you know. The only thing that I'm saying, and I'm going to keep saying it, it's like Nigerians should wake up. You know, Tinubu is not the problem. The real problem is in your locality. And you need to start to, see it from there. If you see it from your locality, trust me, the change that you're expecting will start to get more rapid, you know. And when you can recall your senator, when you can recall your, your House of Rep, you can, it is something that you guys are willing to do. You know what recall means? Recall means you guys will, put a vote and say you don't want him again, or you don't want her again, that he should come back and you want somebody else. That's what happens. And when people see it, like, that is what is happening. You can imagine what Wike is doing in River State.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. This man is coming on national TV and saying that he wants to sustain his political hold. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You're in Abuja, you're a senator. You're a minister in Abuja and all. And you're coming on national TV. Who doesn't do that? Like, you want to maintain your hold on the government, your constituents, in that sense. It's ridiculous. And these are the people that I was talking about. You know, if you can recall them, all those guys that want to sack the governor of River State, recall them back.
But you can't recall Wike. He's an appointed minister.
No. I'm not talking of Wike. I'm talking of the River State. They were putting a vote to impeach the governor. That's what I'm saying now.
Okay.
Recall them back, you know, and tell them that you don't want them again, and elect somebody else and all. But people. The way they spend this money goes to show how much some people are willing to stake and die for it and all. Some people are actually willing to die, you know, for Wike.
Yeah, sure.
Ridiculous. But that aside. So for me, those are the things that I'm saying. Nigerians will wake up and they need to start, asking the right questions and going to the right channels, you know, to put their concerns forward and all and everything. Yeah. So
speaking of bringing it home and, coming a bit granular, let's talk about Lagos.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? What's your view right now of the governor of Lagos State?
You've always known my opinion.
So far, I'm not talking about.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
If I'm going to score him, I'm going to score him 10/100. I've never seen a governor that is so. You saw him at the fashion. The fashion this thing, taking pictures. The man likes pictures, and that's the only thing that I can say about the Lagos State governor, really. You know, because if you look at, I'm always benchmarking with Fashola and all.
Yeah.
You know, even Fashola didn't do much. I always say Fashola didn't do much second time and all. But benchmarking him with Fashola in the first time, it's ridiculous. Even around Ambode, can you imagine? Ambode, that everybody was saying Ambode was, high-handed and all and everything. Ambode even did far, far, far more than him. If only Ambode could have just left the Loma the way it is and all, and channel all those efforts through the Loma and all, I'm sure Ambode will still be there by now, and he wouldn't have been removed. So the governor, Tunde, Sanwo-Olu, is the worst governor.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, he's the worst governor that anybody can put in charge of Lagos.
I have a different view there.
You can give about me a different view.
We both agreed. His first term was horrendous. It was horrible, right? Terrible guy. Did absolutely nothing. I think though that in his second term, right, since May or whatever it was sworn in for a second term, I think Sanwo-Olu has actually done really well. Okay. Right. And
give me the instances. Give me the examples.
First off, when it comes to the transportation part of it.
Yeah, what's the transportation?
The rail projects that they're working on.
The rail projects.
The blue rail.
Is it the blue line rail projects?
Yeah, the blue line is the red rail.
Yeah.
Which they are also doing right now, very soon, maybe by next year they'll conclude.
Okay.
They've actually really picked up the pace on that one.
Do you know the reason why? Can I tell you the reason why I'm not going to give you any props for that?
Why?
Because that thing should have been up and running for a while now.
No, no doubt.
They used most of what they used it for their second time bid, so that they can push it forward, like, this is what I'm trying to do and all and everything. You know the way this thing is, and all.
But the thing is, he has won second term bid already.
That's what I'm saying. Our project should not be tied to second term. Do whatever you want to do, in that period, and continue, to build on it and all. I can remember it very well, vividly, very well. When Fashola was there and all, people were telling the governor, because the arrangement was, everybody knew, the arrangement was that he was just going to do one time and go and all.
Okay.
People were telling him, like, no, leave him. He has done very well, and we want him to continue, and all. And we know that that's part of the reason why he fell out of favor with what's it called, Tinubu and all and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm saying it with all what's it called, sense of responsibility and modesty, because yeah, I am the one that likes to give props where it's due. Sanwo-Olu has not done anything that deserves any praise. And to say that Nigeria, I mean Lagos State, has what's it called, that much revenue, you know, that much internal generated revenue and whatever, what have you, to, I mean, what's it called, to do most of their project and all. Sanwo-Olu hasn't done anything to deserve any. You see, one of the things that I also think that we should stop doing is we should stop praising these guys. Seriously, we should stop praising them. They have not done anything. And you see, it's just like what's it called,
are you aware they flagged off the Yaba flyover bridge?
When did they flag it off?
Last week. Yeah.
Because I was still there last week. I was still as far last week to go what's it called, get stuff. It wasn't working.
I saw on his post. Flagged it off.
Then it's pictures that they like to put now. They like to put pictures off.
The governor doesn't post stuff unless it's really good to go.
He doesn't post stuff unless
it's good to go.
Nah, so. So for me, really, bottom line, what I'm just trying to say is that even that, I'm not impressed with Sanwo-Olu. I'm not impressed with him one bit.
Wow.
Really, because I know that this man, if he was really working, he could have done better.
I agree.
He could have done way better.
The props I'm giving the governor right now is not even based on a high standard. It's just based on the fact that he was completely useless in the first term. In the second term, I think...
And that is the reason why...
Lasepa is working now.
That is the reason why
Lasepa... Do you know, I called the police, right? Funny story, it was a Friday. Down my street, a couple of guys were making so much noise. They had the speakers out. The guy was in the microphone. I don't know if it was a DJ or whatever, making so much noise. It was getting to 11 p.m. and they were still making so much noise. I couldn't sleep. I went to meet them. I told them, you're making noise. Please, can you wrap this up? They were insulting me. They were drunk. So I said, I'm going to call the police on you. They got mad. Started breaking bottle. I left. When I left, I heard the guy on the microphone still insulting me. Big speaker. Everybody knew about hearing it. So I picked up the phone. I Googled and I looked for a police number to call. I got a police control room, Suleri. In fact, it was someone that gave me a number. So I called the number, right? And they picked it up, right? Lagos control room, no joke, Suleri division. And I told them, I complained. There's noise pollution going on in my area. I've told them to pipe it down. They've said no. Please come and check it out. I kid you not. Those guys told me they were sending a patrol team in 12 minutes. A patrol team showed up in my area and it was crazy. It was mad. Those guys went there. In fact, I was shocked because they were mocking me that I should have gone to Banana Island if I knew that I don't want people to disturb me, that I'm stupid. I'm telling you, they should not Paji. When I saw the police coming with their patrol cars and pew, 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 I was mad. They shut the shit down. Like, they shut that shit down. Everyone went and packed the whole thing and I was done. I called the police. I gave them some TYC. I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
that is so working.
Yeah, no. That
12 minutes response time, mind you.
No. That's not so really working. That's not so really working. Don't forget that that's actually what's it called?
You don't want to give the governor props. No. Now you say it's not so
that's
working.
That's the police working.
Lasepa has been closing down places.
No, they've been closing now, but they should go for that. They should go for that. I've been on Lasepa forever.
Okay.
You know, but like I said, I don't mind giving props where it's due, you know. But judging from this what's it called, 4 year, 5 years, going on 5 years that Sanwo-Olu has done.
Yeah,
Sanwo-Olu hasn't worked really. He hasn't done
anything. Yeah, no, the first 4 years not good enough. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but the last few months.
Yeah,
let's see.
He should do better.
Yeah, he can do much better. Yeah, yeah. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, Mr. Governor.
I'm not giving any benefit of doubt because he has 4 years already. He's done 4 years already. Seriously, we should stop giving this guy, putting them on it.
All right, I hear you. We got to go on a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll come back. We're going to be discussing cross-dresser J Boogie in serious trouble after a botched surgery.
I'm taking
and Tyrese.
Yeah,
all the tea when we come back.
I'm taking all the vents from our break. I'm putting it on Sanwo-Olu.
All right.
At Chelsea Smart Set, we believe that style should be accessible to everyone. That's why we offer an extensive range of high-quality and affordable fashion items that are sure to turn heads. Whether you're looking for a statement piece for a special occasion or everyday essentials to enhance your wardrobe, we have you covered. Browse through our Instagram feed and explore our carefully curated selection at csmartset on Instagram and on Snapchat at csmartset with two T's.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. This is the Fontaka Junction, the junction where we break it down, all the political, current affairs, entertainment, and sports gists. I mean, we go wide. Our net is very wide. We cast it everywhere and we bring it all together. Yeah. I hope that you enjoy what we always chop it up on, stay on the junction. If you do, I want to have you guys caught up on what we do every week. So you can click on that subscribe button. You can click on the follow button. Wherever you're listening to us from, whichever platform, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, wherever it is you're listening to us from, wherever in the world you are, you want to make sure that you are subscribed to this tea every week because we drop the episodes back to back.
Yeah, I particularly want to say thank you to the guys that have been giving us feedbacks. And sometimes the feedback can be, a bit hot. but
because you keep giving odd takes. So
funny enough,
the odd feedback.
Funny enough, even feedback to the point of technicalities and stuff like that. So thank you to you guys. I mean, it's been wonderful to have.
And very soon we're going to be opening up our Twitter page so that you can also connect with us on Twitter. We're going to be dropping our Twitter page. You can drop your comments, feedback, contribution. If you want us to talk about anything in particular, you can drop that as well. Very soon we'll have our Twitter page up. So you can also link and connect with us on that.
I was going to, before you go to your, there's this stuff that I heard that Mark Zuckerberg, they said he tore his Achilles. Is Achilles or
ACL? I don't even know how you can do that when you're not playing football or rugby or something. Like, how does Mark Zuckerberg tear his ACL?
I have this epiphany twist to this thing, you know. Telling me that Mark Zuckerberg is a liar.
He's lying about getting injured. Your man was like in a hospital with like full cast on his leg and everything. How can a grown daddy be lying? See, you'll be lying about that kind of thing.
Because ever since he accepted the challenge to fight Elon Musk, he was the one that went and started showing pictures of himself and Abraham Adesanya. Yeah, that Bradman said their training session, and Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk is doing. Elon Musk is going from podcast to podcast, smoking his Cuban cigar. it's only Mark Zuckerberg that is going from one gym to one to another gym, when what's called flexing his muscle as if he's trying to do something and all. Now he has torn his Achilles. We don't even know where he tore the Achilles.
No, but is that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg fight thing? Is that a real thing?
I thought
it was just bands.
They really wanted to do it. Some people now call them out. Like, what are you guys doing?
I don't understand. Too much money is costing us.
Leave it alone. But Elon Musk said it doesn't mind. Like,
they doesn't mind going toe to toe with
Mark. They can fight it out, but Mark Zuckerberg just chill. We know he cannot fight Elon Musk because Elon Musk, that's an unfair fight. So they should leave it alone, and then he should just leave us out of all this his drama, taking pictures that he thought is Achilles heel and all. What is he going to now?
Like, we don't need to know that.
What is he going to tear again?
I mean,
he should let
ridiculous.
It go.
Ridiculous.
Should let it go.
Yeah. Moving on. I don't even know where to start this just from, because I saw it and I just laughed. I shouldn't be laughing, but I laughed.
Yeah.
Transgender, that's what Instagram calls him.
That's a sensitive word.
Is he really transgender? I don't even know.
That's a sensitive word these days. Okay. People get very, very touchy now with their feelings. So,
in Nigeria or abroad?
Everywhere. In Nigeria, very touchy.
I see. Yeah. Well, Jay Boogie set on Bobrisky. Reportedly fighting for This is her life. Is it a guy or a girl? Anyways, after a failed surgery. So the gist is Jay Boogie went to this clinic called Curvy Girls. Is it Curvy Ladies now? I don't know. Run by a certain Dr. Dinma for some corrective surgery. I don't know what that means. But he or she has developed some complications following that surgery. Apparently, she's not been able to pass urine since the procedure was done for over 24 hours. And the clinic is basically not taking responsibility for her aftercare. You know, they're saying she should just, you know, go to the hospital and try and figure out what the problem is. They are passing it off as she has kidney problems, right? And people are saying, yo, this person did not have kidney problems when they came for the surgery. So whatever is happening to them right now is post-op complications. You need to be able to take responsibility for him or for her, rather. At first, it was all jokes, but it do be looking like it's a serious stuff because Jay Boogie has been, like, commenting on, you know, I think it was some pastor's post, like, Lord help me or something like that. And I know it's all fun and games, but it's not going to be funny if we hear something, God forbid, in the next few days happens to my guy because he lost his life.
When did Nigeria start? I mean, when did we start doing making?
I don't know. When did we start performing cosmetic surgery like this?
Yeah,
Curvy Girls.
But at least I know of the Botox and all these.
And those are injections
and,
now.
Yeah, this Botox and this
liposuction. Liposuction is actually surgery.
This one that they use
like fillers, like
fillers,
they don't, yeah, hips.
Do their hips.
That one is injection now. Normal levels.
Yeah, that's injection.
Yeah, that was injection.
But I mean, is it not they inject?
It's not the fat though.
No. They inject. What's this thing called now? Is it? I'm trying to remember the.
What does it do?
They pump it into their butts and all those stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's there. But I mean, at least if he was going to do stuff like that, he should take it out now. Why is he doing it? Have you seen the cost of dollar?
Like,
what is he trying to do? That's like suicide now. You're just trying to commit suicide.
So the thing is, I think this some of these local clinics have they've had some success stories, interestingly. Like that's the weirdest thing. Like some women have come in, done that stuff, and come out fine.
But this one is a man. But is he trans?
He's a guy. I don't even know.
What was he doing? He's transiting. Were they doing something? I mean, what's it called? At the downside, did they remove anything at the downside?
Yeah.
They removed something at the downside.
No, I think they were just trying to give him ass. I'm not sure if they were trying to like remove genitals to change it. I don't think we are at that level. I think they were trying to give him ass, to be honest. Give him booty. I don't have the full details. We don't have the full details of what went down. What we know is it was a surgery. They've termed it as corrective surgery, but I don't know how corrective it is really. I don't know if they were trying to like switch, you know, genitalia or something, or if they were just trying to give him, you know, ass. But the problem is that he has developed some complications. And my question right now is, all these clinics that we have that are offering cosmetic surgeries, how much supervision are these clinics under right now? Do we even have the expertise locally for our medical boards and, you know, whatever association is responsible for overseeing medical practice in this country? Do we have the capabilities to really oversee this kind of surgeries and the clinics that offer this kind of services to make sure that they are following the right guidelines pre-op and post-op, right? And that people are not being unnecessarily exposed to life-threatening issues because we have clinics coming up. Some lady is going to go abroad and get a degree somewhere and say because she has some degree in cosmetic surgery or whatever it is, you come back home and set up a clinic and start doing surgeries for people to change their breasts and change their yams and all that. And nobody is watching to say, are these guys really qualified to do this stuff?
Yeah, can I tell you the truth? I don't feel sorry for him.
Damn.
I don't feel sorry for
tough
him.
Love.
Because, I don't feel sorry for him. And the same, what happened with that doctor that removed somebody's kidney? while he was trying to, what was the name of the doctor again? The other doctor that removed some of his kidney.
I can't remember his name.
While he was trying to, I think he was trying
appendicitis.
To,
now. Appendicitis. Was trying
yeah,
to,
yeah.
Remove somebody's. Work,
I think, the doctor first. The doctor should be arrested. There is no pity party for him if he cannot send himself to, wherever he's going to correct this thing and all. And I feel like, do they have therapists talk to them first before going for those surgeries? You know, because you have to tell them the complications that may arise from going through that type of, complicated, surgery, and all.
Yeah.
So, did they give him therapists? Taking through,
was it properly briefed?
Yeah, therapeutic process, where he was briefed. They told him, okay, these are the things that you can experience and all. If that is the case, then there is not too much
they can do.
Liability that can come on the doctor or the hospital, But I think,
but if you can establish a case of negligence on the part of the clinic or the doctor,
that's down the line. That can be proven. If that can be proven, then that's fine. The way we do things here, our craze, when we catch the fire like this, when we catch the bug, whatever is happening, whatever is trending, in the West, we just take it to another level and all. So for me, I wish him well, but I don't feel sorry for him because he's the one that took his own hand, took himself to that place, paid for the surgery, and then they did the surgery on him and all, But I hope everything comes out and he learns his lessons, goes back to his normal self and then tries to find himself a good wife.
You see, my problem is not even that this is a case of a cross-dresser trying to switch, We've had cases of people like Bob Brisky doing several surgeries, just updating it every year or something. My biggest challenge is the proliferation of body enhancing work that's really going on in this country now. It seems like when I look at every 5 or 10, especially if you go to the island, not even maybe the mainland, the island now, and you go to Lekki or VI or wherever it is, you go to an island, every out of every 10 ladies you look at, like 4 of them have like enhanced bodies as a result of surgery. Like, that's what's popping right now.
Is it that pervasive now?
Yeah, no, it's wild. I'm telling you. Maybe it's even 5. There are some places you go to, like 80%, all the girls. Some certain spots you go to on the island, like 80% of them have done body, right? And it's like, they're not even bothering to travel anymore to do it. They're like, all these local clinics springing up,
funny enough,
left and right, and they're all offering,
funny enough,
liposuctions and ass and all that stuff.
There was a guy that said he too did try to correct. I think he said he had wrinkles. So he did is it liposuction?
No. Is it smoothing the skin or what?
Yeah, smoothening the skin and all.
On the forehead.
On his
Botox.
Botox.
Yeah, it's typically Botox. Yeah.
So he said he did.
Yeah, those are injections.
Right? Yeah. So he said he did it. I know. I'm like, guys. It's natural for us to get old. It's natural for just keep yourself. Yeah. keep yourself as healthy as you can. Try and do your best. But don't kill yourself with all these. All these chemicals that you pump into your bodies and I don't know, really.
Self-love is a very easy thing to sell to people if you're not in their shoes. Some people have serious body dysmorphia. Some people feel very, feel very down about their body.
There are some people that
body, right?
Justifiably so.
Yeah.
Something that they should.
Yeah, I agree.
Doing.
Yeah.
But it's not for
it's not for everybody.
Everyday.
Yeah. If you're good, if you're like, okay,
yeah,
I mean you don't need to aspire to aspire and then go and do something that can kill you, because it do be 50-50. It do be 50-50. I tell you
what is more ways. What is more interesting is that it's actually you take their money,
yeah,
at the end money to go and do those stuff.
Bro, I know a girl who spent like $5 million to do a surgery.
Can you imagine?
And the doctor didn't do the work well. So for like a year they were dragging on refunds, right? And she's like, when I finally get my money, I'll go to a different doctor that has sense. And then it's more expensive. I'll add money and I'll still do it. I'm like, bro. After struggling with one fake doctor, man, you now want to go and try another doctor and spend more money. Like, it's wild. And half the time when you look at all these girls, like, they're actually like, they're not that bad the way they are.
Yeah, like, exactly. Actually, that's like, what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's society. It's putting pressure.
Yeah, I mean, of which the Kardashians, they've affected a lot of culture, you know, with their, you know, excessive and their handless, you know, and all. And even their father, Bruce Jenner, that now turned to Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, I mean, that was so sad.
Yeah, that one too is part of it. You know, yeah. Don't forget that Nigeria actually removed it, told them to remove that particular version of his own reality show. They asked them to remove it from E.
Oh, really?
From, yeah.
In Nigeria?
They asked them to remove it. So Nigeria fought it, I think it's NBC.
Okay.
I fought it that they should remove it. That's not our culture. You know, a man cannot transform to a woman, and then you are now, I mean, people, that somebody that we know that won an Olympic medal,
as a guy,
you know, and all of a sudden we are now, I mean, living in this fantasy world where we are now calling him Caitlyn, when we know that it's Bruce Jenner.
First to him, it was one of the first guys to be like brave enough to make that stand and say, you know what, I think I'm a woman, I feel like a woman, I'm going to make that change.
It
was not like the early guys, really.
Yeah.
Before all these other people like started feeling comfortable.
No, he is not really a woman, but I just know that there is a high likelihood that if you live with the Kardashians, as a man, it's a high likelihood that you turn into a woman.
They'll fuck you up. Excuse my language. I mean, I can tell you the number of promising young men that made the mistake of,
you know,
entering that circle.
So I wasn't really. I mean, I used to be the guy that, I mean, I used to watch it too then. Used to be the one that I look out for because he seemed to be the voice of reason.
Yeah, the level-headed one, the one that kind of.
I didn't know that
the
conversion was gradual.
Yeah, it was crazy. Mad. Yeah,
you know, I know. Yeah, I mean,
moving on.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
American Hollywood actor Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah,
Tyrese. You know, they always tell you that when a man is going through a lot and he's trying to express it, we should give them a listening ear. Yeah. And not make fun of him. I feel like people were clowning Tyrese for the longest time.
No, but
when
I mean,
he was in his feelings,
no,
just
but
talking
seriously,
about how
at that time I thought, why is this guy crying? Why is he always crying? I seen every life this and that, he's always crying. I'm like, well, me, I don't like this guy. He's always crying. Why is he always crying? Like,
for the benefit of those that don't know, Tyrese Gibson is he's a senior actor in the game. I mean, he used
to be a very good musician too.
Yeah, good musician as well. He's acted in movies like Waist Deep. He was in the Fast and Furious franchise. He was in what's the name of this movie where it was like apocalyptic stuff and everybody was turning crazy.
He's
very nice
there.
Movie.
He's
done some really good stuff, both as a musician and as an actor.
Yeah.
And it was crazy seeing that the last few years Tyrese has just been like all in his feelings. Every time he handles the social media, it's like you're begging Tyrese to put the phone down because he's just always complaining about is people being hurt, him being hurt, people laughing at him, people making fun about his pain, blah, blah, blah. Turns out it was going through a divorce.
Yeah.
Right? From Samantha Lee.
Yeah.
Woman that he apparently really loved, kind of, right? Mm. And now, Samantha Lee has done two, three years after the divorce, I guess, has finally done an interview and opened up. And in the interview, we have seen a very somber Samantha, what's the word now when you're looking back on at your past and all that stuff. And she's like, in hindsight, you know, divorcing Tyrese was probably a mistake. And she's saying if she had a chance, you know, to make things right, she would go back. Mm-hmm. Right. And Tyrese has come out and said, ain't no going back. I'm done with that shit. I'm in a new relationship now. I'm good. And the biggest challenge, and I think that's probably what we want to talk about right now, is in Tyrese's mind, and he said it out loud, I don't know in what world what I did wrong that made you go from a woman who seemed to be simple and just want to enjoy the simple things of life and turn into a woman that hires three lawyers to try to break a prenuptial agreement that we have and get me to pay $20,000 a month as child support. How did you go from a woman who doesn't care about money to a woman who wants to leave me and get as much or squeeze as much as you can from me to pay child support when she was earning like 160k a year already? I'm sure there's any good money on her own already. Why do you want me to pay 20k to support the child and you are the one who filed for divorce? And Tyrese is saying, I didn't cheat, I wasn't domestically violent, I wasn't toxic. As much as I can think, I can't say why you even decided to divorce me. Like, Tyrese is saying, if it was because I was, you know, domestically violent or I cheated or something, yeah, then you're leaving me, I can get it. But till today, I still don't understand why you woke up and decided to divorce me.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I think the lady, I commend her for coming out to at least own up, you know, to our mistakes, you know, own up to what she's done that is kind of wrong and all. And it's commendable, really, you know. But sometimes, see, the hurt that we leave behind, I mean, it's not as easy as just coming to say, I'm sorry, I did that and all stuff like that, you know. And I think that's also the reason why we need to count the cost, you know, of what we're trying to, decision that we're trying to make, because it may be lasting, you know. I mean, that act, you know, may be very, very damaging to the person that we carried it out on, really, you know. So, yeah, but I mean, I commend, you know, our boldness to come out and say, okay, I made mistakes. Probably wouldn't have divorced the guy and all and everything, you know. But on the other hand, I mean, now everybody can see why Tyrese was always crying, you know, during those periods. He was always crying.
No, bro, no jokes, bro. Of course, you've broken my mind down. Trying to love a woman genuinely.
Yeah, seriously.
He bought the rules. And the question I'm asking is, yeah, boohoo, you regret your decision and blah, 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 blah. Is she really saying that because she means it or because she didn't get what she wanted?
Yeah, I mean, also,
What was her decision to marry Tyrese hinged on? Was it hinged on the fact that he was a popular star that has a lot of money?
Yeah.
And she's trying to get that back?
Yeah.
Or was it really love? Because Tyrese is asking a very key question, which is, why did you decide to divorce me in the first place? I don't think I did anything wrong.
Yeah, and the circumstance that surrounded her leaving, it was kind of sketchy,
really random,
you know. Yeah, he said he put COVID mask on the cameras, you know.
Yeah,
and then, you know, I mean, made it look like, okay, everything was just, maybe the camera was just down, stuff like that, and then she just packed and left, you know. I mean that can be really devastating, you know.
Yeah,
and
they said she was looking for an exit.
Yeah, it was trying to call to at least like, what's going on, like what's happening and all, you know. But I mean, on the other hand, I thought, Tyrese could have just left it at that, you know, because he was just going on.
He was being quite emotional about it.
Serious tirade.
As a man, I don't know if you want to be doing that.
Yeah,
really.
Seriously. I thought he was just going to chin up and like, oh, okay, that's it. Like, just keep quiet, you know, just let it go.
But we can't talk down at him for that, because that's his own way of dealing with things, right? I mean, everybody, and we always talk about men and saying, oh, it's good for men to be vulnerable, let men, you know, deal with their emotions, they don't bottle it up. We see a man who's trying to process pain in his own way, and we're clowning him for it.
Yeah, but right? but the other thing is, let's not forget that there's a child involved in this situation, you know, and the internet never forgets. You know, whatever you leave out there, you know, he's always going to be there.
Word.
So what if, I mean, they kind of reconcile down the line?
Yeah.
You know?
In fairness to Tyrese, he didn't say anything bad. It wasn't like insulting the girl.
Yeah, but he was calling out the mother, printable names, you know, trying to... I mean, I just thought I thought he should have just left that out of the internet. You know, but, I mean, judging that he could cry that much... I mean, when all those stuff was happening to him, it is not far-fetched that he was going to do that too, because he's an emotional guy, you know, and he comes and then throws his tirade out there and all. So, but I mean, it is what it is. The lady, like I said, I give it to her. At least she confessed, but nobody knows the backstory, like you said, like Tyrese was saying, nobody knows the backstory. Is it because I mean, the divorce proceedings didn't go away.
Yeah.
And then she thought, oh, maybe I should have cashed in like big, you know, no, maybe I should go and re-strategize.
See, the thing for me is, I don't even understand why a popular Hollywood actor or a celebrity would get married in America in the first place. And America is one of the worst places to get married at, first of all, because it's like a trap. The moment you get married, it's a contract. America looks at marriage like a contract. And it's a contract that usually will favor the person who has the less, right? Yeah, over the who has more, regardless whether you're a male or a female. And these days, we are seeing that even having prenuptial agreements is not really as watertight as you think it is, right?
Yeah.
There are ways around it. If you have a very good lawyer,
yeah,
they can still squeeze things out of you.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult to find people who want you for you the moment you reach that level, that status of wealth, fame, popularity. You're going to have a lot of people train themselves as you. You now have to be very good at, and even at that, being good at reading people, is you cannot do that so well if you don't have a very strong gut instinct and God helping you choose rightly. The chances that you choose a gold digger are much higher than you can imagine, especially if she doesn't have your type of money, right? So I'm struggling with popular people getting married. And just goes to, I saw a clip that was circulating on social media. I don't know who she is. Some lady, I think she's married to some rich guy. When the lawyer called her and told her the divorce has been finalized, right? I think your husband has agreed to sign. She was excited.
I saw it.
She was, yes, I'm getting a divorce. She was so happy. Then the lawyer tells her, you're not going to be getting any child support though. No payment. And she's like, what? No child support.
I saw that.
Oh my God. Like, her happiness switched completely from joy to sorrow. And you can tell that for her, that was the game all along. It was all about, I'll get in, get married, find a way to trigger a divorce, and then latch on to those $50,000 a month payments and be soft, be good. And the moment that payment doesn't come in, I don't even care. The divorce is a waste of time in the first place. And it's like, did such a person ever even marry you for you in the first place?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's so hard for people who have money and fame to find true love.
Yeah.
It's
and crazy to think that some Michael Jordan's son is trying to get into one. I don't
understand that one. I mean, it's crazy for me how
he's now saying that his dad should come for the and be his best man. That is so stupid.
I mean, I've always said for the longest time that, you know, if you're doing well in Nigeria and you want to raise children, just raise them in Africa first. Let them, all those I'm doing it for my children, I'm born them abroad, give them paper. You're rushing. Let them first spend like 10 to 12 years in Nigeria where they've collect slap, you know, where they've collect knock, when they are misbehaving, you twist their ears. So that when they grow up, they will have sense. And hey, when they not reach teenage, you cannot go and send them to wherever you want to be growing.
But don't you think that America, because I mean, we're talking about this guy that went to transit from being a guy to something. This one that we just talked about.
Boogie.
Yeah, we talked about him now. I'm not sure he had traveled before.
His own is just pure. He's also influenced. Yeah, so unnecessarily it's
America, American media is really influencing us.
Like, yeah, American media been unnecessarily culture influence,
and all.
Yeah.
You know, influencing the whole world anyway. So it's just the way it is, you know, and all. So, I mean, I just didn't like the fact that Michael Jordan is being dragged into all this. And it's just what it is, really. I hope that Scottie Pippen can get his because I mean there is nothing as embarrassing as what the wife is doing to him.
Ex-wife
is doing to him and all. And I mean, what was even funny was that Scottie Pippen's wife used to babysit this guy when they were playing their playing days. Used to babysit this guy
what
during those period.
JD Marcus or what is his name?
I mean, I don't know. Really.
Just for backstory, for those who don't understand what we're talking about, Michael Jordan, legendary basketballer Michael Jordan, used to have a teammate called Scottie Pippen, right? And Scottie Pippen had a wife, and sometime a few years ago, they divorced, right? Michael Jordan. So now, Michael Jordan's son, who's 34 years old, Marcus Jordan, is in a relationship with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, and they're about to get married. That's Michael Jordan's son is about to marry Michael Jordan's teammate's ex-wife. There's like at least 20 something years difference in that situation. Okay, 17 years between the two. It's crazy. And then Michael Jordan has to be like the supportive father who is giving his son, you know, support. Madness.
For that support.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy. But let's hear what you think about all that. Michael Jordan, Tyrese Gibson, Jay Boogie, and all the other things we've talked about. You can leave your comments on Spotify, or you can hit us on Twitter when we drop the link. From us at the Junction, we're signing out. We're out of time. We're gonna see you next week though, when we bring some new hot gist to your airwaves. Till then, it is Saranoia. Catch ya
later.